your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. You recall, I'm sure, that Paul's theme through this letter is authenticity, realness. And that's something that this world desperately needs, its authenticity. There's so much fake stuff in this world, and unfortunately, including some fake believers and fake churches and fake preaching of God's Word, and that's a dangerous thing. And so today's Memorial Day, and that's, you know, traditionally, you know, we see it as the start of summer, and, you know, we picnics and maybe grilling out some hamburgers or something, going to the pool. And yet it's so much more. It's the day that we take tomorrow to remember those men and women that have given their life in the defense of our country. And there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of them over the almost 300 years of our nation's founding. And we certainly do need to remember and honor them. And because without them and without their sacrifice, we would not be the land of the free and the home of the brave. And so we must never take that for granted. And a few years ago, there's a big a lot of states passed Stolen Valor Acts, something that boggles my mind that you'd even have to do, but it's illegal now officially for somebody to claim to be a soldier, to have decorations that they don't have, or to sometimes not even be a soldier. It takes a lot of, I don't know what, chutzpah maybe is the right word, to do something like that. And especially, you know, when you think about what those men and women who are serving our country, what they go through, what they endure, and they really do put their lives on the line for all of us. And so that is a serious thing. And we're going to see this morning, as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, that Paul warns young Timothy that not only do people steal honor from those to whom it is due, but there are people that steal the name of Christ. There are people who, are fake, are just not real. And so Paul says to Timothy, listen, take note of this. And be able to separate. And I'm thankful to know that there are some things you can tell if somebody really follows Jesus, if they're really a believer or if they're not. There's the old, Holiday Inn commercial used to be, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. there are a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian, that it's not measured up in how they live. And so what Paul's going to tell us today is if you want to know if someone is a believer, look at their life. Look at how they behave. And I want us to understand that we are not saved by how we act. Because you can't be good enough. There's not one of you. All of you are pretty good folks. Miss Barbara, you know, our senior, she's a saintly lady. We love her and are thankful for her. But even she can't get to heaven on her own. And neither can you. And the thing is, you don't have to even try. And so let's take a look at what Paul tells Timothy, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. These things command and teach. I'm thankful that the Apostle Paul does not pull any punches. And by the way, when we say look at somebody's life, it's not that we're judging. It's that we believe and we understand that when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and changes you, that happens by faith. And it's by grace alone. There's nothing, again, that you can do to earn that. But when your life has been changed, when you've made that decision, it changes who you are, and it changes how you behave. The change that God works starts on the inside, and we all know that what's on the inside, eventually what happens? It comes out, exactly. And so our lives are necessarily changed when we have found the truth of God's Word. And so Paul sets up for Timothy. He said, listen, there are two groups of people. There's this group that says that they're believers, and yet they've had their minds seared with a hot iron. He says, in other words, they know the truth, but they don't care. They decide they're going to do what they want to do. They decide that, oh, I know better. Why, that's okay for you. That's so old-fashioned. It's 2021 after all. Get with the times. And we're seeing that in our world today. It was prevalent in the first century when Paul and Timothy lived. It hasn't gone anywhere. In fact, it's probably more prevalent today. And so there were these people that, you know, some would say, well, they really weren't real believers to start with. Maybe. But Timothy, Paul seems to think they were real believers to start with, but then made a shipwreck of faith and turned away from God and decided instead of following God that they were going to serve Satan and this world and their own flesh. And I tell you, we all probably know people that grew up in church, maybe even this church, and they know the truth. And today they're not only not in church, but they're not living for God. They're out doing their own thing. Paul said, you know what? People that are not living for the Lord really are not His. He's not talking about those that make an occasional sin that, and by the way, all of us do that, need God's forgiveness every day. But what he's talking about is somebody that has a life that is characterized by sinfulness. And the problem, or I struggle to say this, but you know, the problem's not that we sin. The problem is that the fact that we sin doesn't bother us. That's when you're in a dangerous place. When you can do something you know better and that God expressly forbids and you don't give it a second thought and it doesn't, you know what? That means you are in a very, very dangerous place. And you are not as close to the Lord as you certainly need to be. And we'll see in just a minute. The solution is not saying, well, I guess I've just gone too far. There's no hope. I'll just Que sera, it. No, the answer is repenting and turning from that wicked way and turning back toward Jesus. John tells us that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, friend, understand this morning that there is a difference between those who follow and know Jesus and those who only say they do. And it shouldn't be hard to tell the difference. And so let's talk about three things that real followers do. The first thing that we see is that real followers love truth. In these first verses that of this chapter, Paul talks about these that have committed apostasy, or those that have fallen away from the faith, those that are living contrary to God's word. But then he says, you know what? Don't be like them. Instead, you make a different choice. You follow truth. And this world, I tell you, we live in a world that increasingly hates truth. And they're not, in fact, truth bothers them. And it unsettles them. And so they want to do away with it. But God's people and those that are following after God love truth. Even when it's difficult truth. There are difficult truth. The scripture, Paul says in Romans 3, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us is a sinner. Well, that's hard. Nobody likes being told no. Said this morning at 9 o'clock that, you know, our children sometimes need to hear no, and we do. I mean, I tell you something about children and adults, we don't like being told no. We like to be told yes. But sometimes it is necessary to be told no. Sometimes the truth hurts. But if we're really following Jesus, when God's word hurts us or it's difficult, we don't say, well, I'm going to cut that part out. We say, God, you know what? I sure haven't been living like you've wanted me to. Please forgive me. And help me change. Help my life to reflect you rather than this world. This world does not like the, you know, absolute truth. It does not like, you know, things that are, because that means that if something's true, that means there has to be other things that are lies. And if God's word is the truth, that means their philosophy and their way of wanting to live is not the truth. Well, that's a hard pill to swallow. And the truth of the matter, it is hard sometimes to swallow the truth of God's word. But if you're really a follower of Jesus, you swallow it even when it's a big horse pill that's hard to go down. And by the way, if you are a child of God and the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you and dealt with you in months and months and months and maybe years and maybe decades, let me assure you of something, friend. It's not because you're perfect. It's not because you've reached that stage of perfect sanctification. Rather, it's because the Holy Spirit's working and trying to convict you. And you're getting a stiff neck and a stiff heart. And your relationship with Jesus is not what it should be. God said in Jeremiah, he said, you know what? In the new covenant, he talked about, he said, you know what? I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. And I'm going to be their God. And they're going to be my people. And I'm going to give them pliable hearts. Real followers of Jesus love truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, almost in the next sentence, said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And then he says, just about in the next breath, if the truth has set you free, then you are free indeed. Real followers love the truth that though they are sinners, and though they have fallen and disappointed God, God loves them. And God loves them so much that he wants them to be with them, him for all eternity, and makes a way for that to be possible. And the only way that was possible, because God does love us, but God is also holy and just. And because of God's holiness and justice, he has to punish sin. He can't just wipe it. He can't say, well, we'll forget it this time. That's not justice. And the truth of the matter is that's not love either. Real followers of Jesus love God's truth, even when it's hard. But Paul says, listen, those that are living apart from the Lord, they may be in church, they may sit in church and hear preaching, but it's like their brain has been seared with a hot iron and God's truth can't get into it. And it's not changed, and they won't be changed. Not because they don't know the truth, they do, but they've rejected the truth. And they've walked away from God. And so he says, don't do that. Instead, you instruct them as a good minister, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you've carefully followed. In other words, you find your nourishment in God's word. And then as you find nourishment from God's word, guess what? The truth is that as you're nourished by God's word and a relationship with him, guess what? That's going to flow out in your life. Not that you're all of a sudden going to be perfect, because you're not. But you will be different. And you're becoming more and more and more and more like Jesus every day. I mentioned Miss Barbara earlier, and she's a great lady. You know what? She wasn't always a saintly grandmother. She used to be young. Why, she was even a baby like Spencer Joy. Yeah, probably smiled and giggled. But guess what? She grew. And one thing she grew in was the grace of the Lord. And guess what happened? And I've only known her for a year and a half, but I know this is true. That as she experienced God's grace more and more, she became much more gracious. And she extended much more grace and mercy than she probably did when she was young. That should happen. And I tell my mom all the time. She was a loving mother, and she raised me and my brother and sister by herself, and you know, I appreciate and love her. My nephews, they get away with a whole lot more than what any of us kids did. And that's true of just about any grandparent. The grandkids can get away with murder, you know, say, you know, kid, you know, we, you know, put something out of place and we were in trouble. Listen, it's not because grandparents have gotten older and seen it. It's because they've experienced and they've grown in grace. And that's a good thing. We ought to all be growing in grace. We ought to all be becoming more and more and more like Jesus every day, because we know him more and more and more as we walk with him day by day. And so the first thing about real followers of Jesus is they love truth. But here's the the second thing, real followers of Jesus also practice the truth. And I've already hit this a little bit, but Paul said, listen, if you are going to follow Jesus, and you really are a follower of Jesus, it comes out in how you live your life. And so that when the truth comes to you, and if the truth convicts you because you're doing wrong, you don't brush it aside. You say, you know what? God, I'm sorry, forgive me and restore me. And He does. But also when God comes and He says, hey, Alice, I want you to break some brownies for Steve to take to the men's meeting on Tuesday so that they have food, and all the men say, hallelujah. And Alice could say, Steve can make his own brownies. Well, we would not have liked that probably. But she did that. And so when God speaks to us, and when God's in, it may be making something, it may be speaking a kind word, it might be praying for somebody that you don't even know or that you haven't seen in a long time. It might be picking up the phone and, you know, just saying, you know what, God just put me on. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When God puts somebody on your heart, it's because of one of two things. It's because they either need to hear from you, have something that you need to encourage them by, or they have something that they need to encourage you with. And God has a way of doing that. And real followers, when God's Spirit speaks to them, they obey. What? You mean if I follow Jesus, I have to listen to Him? Yes. If you're going to be a sincere, authentic follower of Jesus, you're going to understand, you're going to say, you know what? When God asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to practice what God says is truth. So Paul says, hey, listen, bodily exercise does a little bit of good. And it does. Our bodies need, probably for most all of us, myself included, our bodies probably need a little bit more physical exercise than what we give them. It's good for us to exercise. It's good for us to do things. When people get to the point in their life when they stop moving around, they stop doing things, death is not too far away. Because their bodies begin to break down because they're not moving. Your muscles, not only do they need food, but they need some exercise to keep them going. So exercise does profit a little bit. But he says, you know what? Godliness is much more profitable. Does a whole lot more good. If eating right and walking, you know, or treadmilling or playing golf or whatever you do for exercise helps your body a little bit, you know what? Living a godly life is going to help it even more. There's been scientific studies that have shown that Christians' blood pressure is oftentimes lower. And people who pray live longer. People who go to church live longer. It's not that those things in themselves prolong our life, but by the way, doesn't Scripture say that godliness extends our life? When we follow God's Word, when we follow His precepts, our days will be lengthened. Now, there are godly people that die very young, so that's not a hard and fast rule. But generally speaking, those that are in the hospital and they have visitor and they're prayed for, and guess what? They recover faster. There have been studies. Why? Because godliness does a lot of good. Godliness leads to goodness. But friends, the other way around does not work. Goodness does not necessarily mean to godliness. There are a lot of people that are good in this world. They'll spend eternity in hell. Because God does not, and I grew up, you know, thinking this, that, you know what, when you get to heaven, this is what's going to happen. God's going to have a scale, and he's going to put your good on one side and your bad on the other side, and if the good outweighs your bad, you're in. And if your bad outweighs the good, you're in trouble because you're heading south. That is not the truth of God's word. And I'm thankful for that. But there are a lot of good people that will spend eternity in hell. Because what makes you right before God and what makes you godly is not doing good things. What makes you right before God and what makes you godly is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and then living the way that Jesus wants you to live. So godliness leads to goodliness, but goodliness does not lead to godliness. So real followers of Jesus will practice the truth. They'll live it out. And then lastly, I want to say Paul tells Timothy and tells us this morning that not only do real followers of Jesus love truth and practice the truth, but real followers of Jesus trust the truth. There are a lot of people, even in our world, they were seeing more and more in famous people and people that grew up in church and even people that have had positions in church that are saying, I do not believe in Jesus any longer. I was wrong. And they turn away from their faith. Well, a few things may have helped explain to that. Some of them, their faith wasn't really in God to start with. It might have been in a preacher, or might have been in a friend, or might have been in some experience. But you see, God alone is the only one we need to put our faith and trust in. He's the only one that will never leave us and never forsake us. Jesus sticks closer than a brother, Scripture says. And so he says, hey, listen, there are some that are going to make a shipwreck of faith and that are going to leave. But then there are those that will hang on. They'll stick it out. They'll endure. And Paul, by the way, said, you know what? We endure. We work for God, and we are enduring even suffering. The hard things of the Christian life. And we all know that following Christ and trying to live a godly life is not an easy task in this dark and fallen world. And yet, our trust and what anchors us is not in how we feel. It's not in what's politically correct. But if you're a real follower of Jesus, it's in the truth of your relationship with Him. Some days you may not feel particularly saved. Well, it doesn't matter if you feel saved or if you don't feel saved. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and God, and that's evidence in your life that God has changed you and is working on you, you belong to Him. Part of knowing that we're saved is God's Spirit dealing with us. God deals with the lost, by the way, too. They just don't care. The Christian does. And so Paul says, listen, this is the truth. That if you're in Christ, it shows, it oozes out of you. It impacts how you live your life. And so it doesn't matter if, you know, some say, well, yeah, God says this, but that's really not what God meant to say. What God really meant to say. And the world says, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well, if God said it, you ought to believe it and stand on it, and God hadn't changed His mind. We change our minds, but God doesn't. God says something is right, it's right, and if He says it's wrong, it's wrong. And no matter what anybody else says about it. I'm going to use Mom as an illustration. If If mom said no, it was no. There was no arguing. And that's how it is in our relationship with God. So he says, you know what, we live out this truth and we're faithful to practice it and we show it to this world so that all men will see it. And some have taken this last verse here and said, well, that means that God is going to save everyone. Well, that's not what Paul says. God desires to save every. God desires every single person be saved. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt of every human being. Because every human being is born into this world separated from God by sin. And Jesus' sacrifice, once and for all, paid that sin debt for anyone. But there's a catch. It was paid for anyone who is willing to receive it. It wasn't that, you know, God just says, well, Jesus died, and so everybody's going to get to heaven, and we're going to have us a great hallelujah hug 'em out party in eternity. No. The offer of salvation is made to absolutely every single human being, no matter how dastardly, rotten, sin-scarred they are. If anyone asks Christ to forgive them and come into their life, he will. And when anyone has made that decision, their life changes. There's a certain aspect of their life that is an instantaneous change. You go from being lost to being saved, from being a follower and a child of this world to being a child of the King. That happens instantaneously. But then there's another part of that transaction that God works, and it's a slow process, much slower than oftentimes the preacher wants, and probably more times than you want. This process, the big word is sanctification. That we are set apart, and that setting apart is instantaneous. But the effect of that sanctification takes a long time. That's what the process is. And if you're a child of God and you've trusted in Him, you've made that decision, the truth of the matter is you're saved and you belong to Him. But there's something else. If you're saved and you belong to Him, then when God speaks to you, you will listen. And if He speaks and He says, you know what, you oughtn't have done that, you better repent. You repent. And if He says, you know what, I want you to go somewhere and do something for me, say, well, I better think about that a minute. I better call a committee and think on it some. And no, that's not how we respond. We obey. Because we trust that if God has asked us to do something, that's what His will for us is. And if He's asked us to do something, we're capable of doing it. Sometimes that might be hard. Following Jesus, in some ways, it's not hard to know what we're supposed to do as God's children most of the time. The hard thing is doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. Because though we are saved and we're a child of God, we still are living in this world that is hell-bent against God. And it wants to pull us away from God and keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes Satan doesn't have to fight us very hard to get us to do what he wants us to do. We give in pretty easy a lot of times. And sometimes Satan's not even involved in it. He gets a lot of blame for stuff he doesn't have any part of. We just sometimes we're our own worst enemies. But Paul says here, and this is the point, that, you know what? God is not looking for people that have it all put together and look like they have all the answers. God is looking for people whose lives have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by having a personal relationship with God Almighty. That's what makes a person right before God. And when a person has made that decision, it shows. And studies continue to show in America that upwards of 75% of Americans claim to be Christians. And if that were true, friend, our nation would look very much different than what it does. If 75% of us were sold out, real, authentic followers of Jesus, we wouldn't be having some of the debates that we're having in our world today, in our nation today. And we wouldn't be in a good bit of the mess that we're in today. Real followers trust the truth of God's Word. And this is what that truth is that every one of us is born into this world lost, separated from God by sin. But that God loves every single one of us so much that He made a way that we could be made whole. That sin debt could be paid. We couldn't pay it. None of us can. But He loved us so much, He came and He paid it for us. But when we receive that gift and we surrender our life to Him, He becomes our Lord. And the direction and the focus of our life changes. We are not all of a sudden totally sanctified and all that we ought to be in Christ. No, it's a process. And God is working in our lives if we're a follower of His. And so the truth of the matter is if you're a real follower of Jesus, there's sometimes that God speaks to you and convicts you about things. And friend, if He hadn't convicted you about anything and He's not asked you to do anything, it's not because He's not speaking. It's because you're not listening. And your relationship with Him is not where it needs to be. But the great news is that if you'll turn from your wicked way, He'll forgive you. And He'll restore to you, just like He did David. One of the most beautiful psalms in the Old Testament, Psalm 51, where David wrote this psalm after he sinned with Bathsheba. Nathan confronted him. His child died. And this is what he cried out. Oh, I've messed up. And this is the Aaron version. I've messed up. I've sinned against you. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And he says, if you will forgive me and you'll restore me, I will go and I will tell everyone I can. I'll teach transgressors to follow your ways. And so I hope that we'll be receptive and responsive when God deals with us. And if you're here today and you say, you know what, no, God really hasn't ever dealt with me, well, chances are He's dealing with you about coming to Him and starting a new life in Him. You say, you know what, there was a time in my life when I followed God and served Him, but it's been a while since God's spoken to me. It might be that He's speaking, you're just not listening. And today you say, you know what? Lord, forgive me. Just like David did, God, restore me. Cleanse me. And the great thing about God is that if we'll come to Him, He'll never turn us away. He'll never say, "No, I'm sorry, Aaron, you've used up your last chance. You've just gone too far. Bye." If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Let's pray here. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your Word and how it challenges us. Lord, we thank You for the truth. We thank You that there's truth in knowing that, yes, we're sinners, but You loved us so much. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary, to shed His innocent, sinless blood, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, the truth of the matter is that as You come into our life, You change us on the inside. But if there's been change on the inside, it's reflected. It eventually oozes out and becomes a change on the outside. Our behaviors and our priorities and everything else in our life shifts when we surrender to You. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You, maybe one here, maybe one watching on Facebook, would today be the day that You would help them to call upon You to receive this great gift of salvation? Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today that, oh, they've been wrestling, they've been running, or they're dangerously close to being this first group that Paul talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, that have their conscience, their spirit seared with a hot iron that, Lord, You no longer get through. Lord, if there's one that needs to turn back to You today, would You help them to have the courage to know that there's grace with You, that there's restoration and joy with You. Help us, we pray, Lord, to live out the truth that we have been changed by Jesus Christ day by day. And we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this old hymn. If God spoke in your heart and there's a decision you need to make today,